The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother and Me. I'm your oldest brother, Justin Tyler McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother and 30 under 30 media luminary, Griffin McElroy, and it's an advice show for the modern era. I don't know why Justin didn't say that this time.
Do you hear that, boys? Do you hear that, boys? When you hear hoofbeats, think derby. Not zebras. Occam's razor.
Derby time.
It's derby time, everybody. Put on your cool hats. There's ribbons, and mine has two pinwheels.
I have created a little game out of the Derby competitors. I have made a list of names, sets of three. One name is real.
Okay.
Two are made up.
Now,
Griffin, you're going to go first. Tell me which of these names.
Two things.
We do have to give, if we play this game with you, do we have to pay royalties?
We do have to give Ayadude money.
Yes.
Okay. The other thing is that I watched it, so I'm going to fucking destroy you. So okay. I watched it. I got a Mia Julep. And my hand, and I drank it down smooth, and I got fucking blitzed, and I watched these big ponies go.
Combine the two worlds of the Derby, Griffin, get a big wide-brimmed hat, right? And then tape two mint juleps to the sides of mint julep. Yeah. And then have big straws that come down to your mouth from the hat. Mm. That's the only way to Derby. Just scientifically speaking.
All right, give me these fucking horses.
I want to talk about the Derby more, so let's play Travis's game first.
Okay. Which of these names is real? Griffin. Thunder Snow.
That's fake.
Earth, Wind, and Lightning.
That's fake.
Pants on Fire.
None of those are real.
I'm sorry. Thunder Snow is correct.
No, it wasn't. No, come on. It wasn't in the race. I watched the race, and there was no Thunder Snow.
It was Thunder Snow. Thunder Snow placed. Let me see here. Thunder Snow didn't do great. 20th out of 20.
20th. Okay, here's my thing on horse racing, and I've got a whole bit that you guys are just going to love on this. First place, you win. Your owner gets $1 million, and you get to bust the deepest nut ever that night. Congratulations. 2, 3, 4, 5, you get the wreath, and I guess your owner still gets a considerable amount of money, but you just get to bust a regular nut. 5 through 10, you're fine. Anything after that, they should have a collapsible pit that just opens up on the track that all of the horses just fall down into the pony pile, and then the pit opens back up, and then we don't talk about those horses ever again. 20th place, are you fucking kidding me? 20th place, 10th on the underground pile. That's it. You're done.
I would own Thunder Snow. Listen, the owner of Thunder Snow, if you're looking to get him off your hands, I'll take it.
Travis, you don't have to own Thunder Snow. Thunder Snow got thoroughly fucking owned yesterday in that race. It got put in its place by fucking, what was the winner? Cream Dream. And I think Cream Dream won it. Was number one Cream Dream?
All right, Justin, which of these names is real?
Cream Dream. If Cream Juice's Cream Dream is one of the three, it's real.
Justin, slow and steady. Fast and accurate, sloppy boy.
All three describe me and sex.
I wish sloppy boy was real, but I think it's fast and accurate.
It is fast and accurate. That is correct.
That's excellent. A bullshit name for a horse. Four legs and hooves. It's
Griffin.
What? Long head and big body.
Griffin. Pinch me, I'm dreaming. Guaranteed winner or State of Honor.
State of Honor's real.
State of Honor is
State of
real.
Honor came in third, I think. I watched that one. I'm not kidding.
State of Honor was fourth. State of Honor was 19th.
In the pile.
Travis, can we bring your game to an abrupt end?
But I have... Okay, wait. Let me give you this last one, Justin.
Okay, last one.
Billiams, Steffely, or Gervin?
Gervin.
Gervin is correct.
Welcome to My Brother and Me. I'm Gervin McElroy. I'm Steffely.
Three of the... I pulled up the list after Travis's game was over, and I there are three different horses in this fucking race out of 20 or two or something. There's three fucking horses that sound like someone trying to pronounce Griffin's name and failing.
Mm.
There's a Gervin, there's a Gunavera, and there's a Gormley. Wait, is it Gormley McElroy? No, it's not
Gormley McCracken.
Gormley McCracken? McCracken's another one, by the way.
I'm 30 under 30. Gormley, sweet cream dream McCracken.
It's Gormley McCracken. No, Gervin?
It's this great podcast Gervin? That's in McCracken Brothers. And the littlest one is such a card. Gorpulds.
I celebrated the Derby, which was also Free Comic Book Day. So I was downtown, stopped by Purple Earth, got some books, and I went to the press club for lunch, which is like a, it's kind of like a bar restaurant kind of vibe. So we're sitting there.
They do
there
paninis, hence the press in the name. You get it.
Yeah. There was two things about this. One, it's buck wild that there's 2 hours of coverage for an event no one cares about any other day of the year for 15 seconds of event. That's fine. To fill that, one of the segments I saw was, you know, there's celebrities here. And they're like, here are the celebrities. Harry Connick Jr.
Uh-huh.
That's Travis right. Tritt. End of montage. Like, that was like, oh, whoa, yeah. a rough year for the Derb. But as we're the only people in the restaurant, as we are like waiting for the race to begin. I mean, we're eating pizza, but like the race was about to begin. An elderly gentleman comes in and just stands at the bar, staring at the screen, gets himself a beer, drains it. And as the race begins, he just starts yelling, "Come on!"
Like that will make the race,
come on!
Like that'll make the race begin faster, or
come on. No, as the race has begun,
oh,
he's yelling,
I see.
Come on. But he's not mentioning any horses. So it gives him the vibe of like he's just trying to be encouraging. Like he just wants all the horses to come on
a good
a
race
bit faster.
Yeah.
Justin, yeah, he just wants a good race out there.
Important question. At the end of the race, did he pull some sort of paper stub out of perhaps a breast pocket, tear it up, and jump up and down on it?
No, that's the... Okay, oh, this is the other thing. When the race is over, no reaction. Like, I guess he's just in it for speed. He just loves the speed or something, because he did not care who won or lost. He just wanted him to come on.
Maybe he really likes watching, or like he is committed to watching the Derby, but doesn't actually enjoy doing it. And like, he just knows, like, maybe there's a group of people at work who always talk about the Derby and he's like, I'm going to watch it this year. But as soon as he started, it was like, I already hate this. Come on, please.
Come on.
Just finish it.
Finish it. So yeah, Derby again, Derby time. But congratulations to Cream Dreams. The winner.
That's not the name. That's not.
Just Googled about Thundersnow. Injury on the track. Muddy. I said this race will have at least one horse destruction by the end of the day. You listen to me. Thundersnow had a bad buck coming out the paddock.
Ugh.
And I was sure. I was almost certain. But no, he said, put that fucking gun away, Jeremy. Not to me. I'm Thundersnow. I'm too proud. And so I think he's okay. Scary moment, though. You see a horse take a bad break out the paddock, and you think, like, is this it? Is this it for our hero, Thundersnow?
One of the horses was named after an issue we've had while recording the show before, and it's called J-Boy's Echo. Sometimes J-Boy does get a little bit of echo from the headphones.
Yeah.
And J-Boy's Echo... It has been an issue that we've had to negate with some audio VST plugins.
Another one, there's another horse here named after another issue that we have on the show, and it's called I Rap. And my name is Griffin, and I'm here to say that I love these horses in a major way. I wish there could just be a 20-way tie. I wish all these horses could finish at the same time and they could all just bust all their nuts that night.
All the big, I will say, Griffin, when I first saw that the Derby had occurred, the headline I read was, Always Dreaming takes first on a sloppy track.
They said Always Dreaming in the headline because they can't, like, our news, quote-unquote, papers, that's one doesn't get quotes because it is on paper, they're too fucking chicken shit to say Cream Dream in a headline. They're
well,
too chicken shit to put that on the...
Well, yeah. Always Creaming, because now he just gets to bust nuts left
just
and right.
It's good work if you can get it.
Ha-chee-chee-chee. sex.
So anyway, therapy. It's got horses. We got to talk about it. That's the law. But that's not all we do here on the show. We help people and we give them advice to help them. And I'd like to do that right now with our first question. And here we go. At dinner with my in-laws the other night, I found out about a vacation package they had purchased off the internet and were inviting myself and my SO to join them on. A simple Google search led me to find the package was likely a scam and that the company behind it had a long list of scam complaints in the past. Oof. My question, though, is what's the best way to tell a friend or loved one that they have been scammed without making them feel stupid or angry or ruining their vacation? I feel guilty for not telling them, but also don't want them to go on their vacation and let them get scammed anyway. That's from Scammed by Scoundrels in Sydney.
Unless I missed a factor here, I don't think they're going to go on said vacation. Unless it's a weird scam I'm not aware of where the person both gets scammed, but also gets to go to Hawaii.
It's one of these where they send you a picture of a boat and they're like, $10,000 and we'll take you on the cruise of your life, and you show up and it's just a big picture of a boat and
Ron is there, but like
Captain Ron's there affiliated. But he's there to just like take some pictures with you with this good boat picture, and he says, yeah, I hope it was worth it.
And it kind of is.
He's great. You got to say something. You don't want them showing up and getting,
well, but think about it this way. How do you say to them, like, without sounding like you're saying, hey, stupids, I looked this up. Why didn't you look this up? This is a scam. It took me 5 seconds to figure out. Even if that's not your tone of voice, which, God help me, it should not. But, like, there's no way to say, like, hey, a brief Google search let me know that y'all been taken.
Well, I think that's probably better than, we'll be taking your house now. Goodbye. Like, I think that that's they would prefer to hear from you about the scam rather than, like, you don't own your home anymore. I think they would prefer that, right?
Ooh, do you have a certain set of skills that will help you to save your in-laws from this scam taken for?
Taken, it's a very low stakes taken.
Yes.
You didn't even, how did you even get here without Googling it accidentally? Cooltrips.biz. Sounds good to me. 800,000? Here you go. I'll take out a second mortgage. Here you go. Where are we going? That's not important. Don't worry about it. It'll be a fun, it says fun trip for four. Good for me. Where to? Not important. Amazing Race style, baby. Cue it up, Phil. Keegan, let's do this shit.
When I worked at Best Buy and we would like, ask people if they wanted to sign up for credit cards and stuff for the store. Like part of it was we needed your social security number. And there is a certain generation, I'm not going to say 100% of the time, but that is more statistically likely to both be very wary of people in uniforms at a store they're standing in asking for their social security number, who will also give away whatever information you want for a trip to the Bahamas or a boat or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what the disc, but like, hi, you see my face. I'm standing behind a Best Buy desk. Can I have your No, I don't trust that. Okay. Ooh, a flashing window popped up on my computer. Don't mind if I do.
Now I'll punch the fuck out of this monkey. Wait, you're going to give me a cruise too?
Oh, shit. Just for punching the monkey? Fuck
just
yeah.
Punch the monkey once?
Internet's great.
I hate to do this, guys, but at this point, I'm going to have to bring it up. The Grifter's Code. Now, here's the problem.
Oh, shit.
If you are running, if you hear tell about a grift, and it sets off your alarm bells, and if you've been in the game for a while,
yeah,
you know them all. The back alley preacher, the
Gorvin.
The Gorvin, the seven watches.
The sloppy boy.
The creamy
snow,
the bubblegum violin, you know, all the
Arkansas
grifts.
Creamy dream.
I think if you detect a grift and then you alert the grift, you have got to be prepared for the next time you're running a grift.
Call full circle.
Oh, they're coming for you.
Big wheel keeps spinning
in a major way.
Keep spinning major that big way. Wheel.
Ooh, yeah. What if you I'm trying to think of the name of the show. What's the show? Is it Collateral? No.
Collaboral.
That's it. Where you grift the grifter.
Oh, shit. It's Collaboral. Grift. Yeah.
Yeah, you reverse grift.
Yeah, you need a captain for your boat? Yeah, I guess so. How much money? $20,000.
Are you a very good captain? You know it. You know I'm the best captain. Best in the biz.
You're not going to find a captain for cheaper than the exact amount of money my in-laws... I mean, someone's in... I mean, those two marks gave you. It's a little bit of lingo.
The show was Leverage. I'm very mad at myself that I couldn't pull Leverage. I love that show.
I know for a fact the creator of Leverage has listened to our products before. And I'm very sorry we couldn't pull the name of Leverage.
Sorry we called your show Collaboral.
It's definitely not that.
It's just, it's...
Oh my goodness. Is it Derby time?
I want a munch!
Squad! Oh, I thought we were doing
I want to munch!
Squad!
Bunch of people sent this one in. And I'm really excited about it. And I think that if you've been paying, a lot more people are paying attention to the scene than they were before.
Quick question, is it these horrible triangles?
The horrible triangles sound pretty tasty right now. I have a side path real quick. KFC has a romance novel for Mother's Day called Tender Wings of Desire.
Very funny.
You're definitely going to want to pick that
literal?
One up.
Literal? Wait. Is this
everything? The sentence I said is true. Parse it later. Moving on. Naked Chicken is back. Naked Chicken is okay. Naked Chicken has become a brand of the Taco Bell hive mind. And the only odd thing about that is the name was incepted for the Naked Chicken Chalupa, which of course was, it was chicken instead of a shell. So the naked thing made sense. But now they're twisting it a little bit with Naked Chicken Chips.
It's too, like all three of those fucking words, mm-hmm. you've modified it. Mm-hmm. Go on.
I'm so excited because I have, which has become a rarity, a lot of these companies are not putting out these press releases anymore. I think they on to me. That's fine. But this one does have a big release. I'm really excited because this is May 11th. This is happening. I'm getting
by big
out in
release,
front of it
do you
for
mean
once.
Diarrhea?
Here's the first line of this press release. Taco Bell went and did it again.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. It should that sentence should be preceded by uh-oh.
Ruh-roh. Taco Bell went and did it again. First, they created a taco shell made entirely of crispy marinated white meat chicken. Now they've done the same with chips, complete with, here's an adjective you never knew existed and now wish you could put it away, dippable nacho cheese sauce. Dippable nacho cheese. Consider the inverse. Undippable nacho cheese sauce.
Unpenetratable.
Unpenetrable.
It's straight cheesy oobleck. It fucking like as much force as you can put into this thing, it's gonna push right the fuck back.
Now with unfathomable nacho cheese. Just try to plumb the depths of this nacho cheese.
I'd like to welcome back to the show a woman I've come to think of as the fourth McElroy brother, Marissa Thalberg, chief marketing officer at Taco Bell, who says, quote, The world wasn't ready to say goodbye to Naked Chicken, and neither were we.
Oh,
thank you, Marissa Thalberg, for interrupting my grieving process. The world's grieving, and you've righted the ship just when you thought it couldn't get any better. That word doesn't mean what I think it means anymore. We went and added our famous nacho cheese to expose the traditional chips and cheese combo like only Taco Bell can. The word is expose that Marissa has chosen this time. We're exposing chips and cheese to this fucking radioactive concept of Naked Chicken.
These are, I'm sorry, triangular chicken wedges, right? These are nuggets of a sort that are maybe, it sounds like maybe breaded, embarrassed with Dorito fixins, and you just dip them in nacho. These are chicken tenders that are triangular in no, I don't want to get it. I think to me, I'm not interested in talking about like, fucking BuzzFeed runs a post saying like a hot dog's a sandwich and then everybody just gets really angry about it for a long time. I don't want to get into that sort of semantic argument. These are chicken tenders. And no, making something triangle shaped does not make it a chip. That is the most whack shit I've ever heard.
There is only one way in which it is a chip, Griffin, and that is literally if they just took like fried chicken skin and there's no meat to it whatsoever.
I'm gonna yarts now.
There's part of this press release, which I'm not going to get into the prices. Let me say these chips are extremely affordable in the monetary sense.
I need to know the prices. I'm sorry.
6-piece for $1.99 or 12-piece for $3.99.
That's
not getting a deal if you get 12. sorry. One of the things in the press release is that is this paragraph. Naked chicken isn't the only thing that's back. The Council for Eating Fried Chicken the Same Way You Always Have, a group dedicated to the preservation of traditional chicken values that first surfaced during the launch of the Naked Chicken Chalupa, have already begun their marketing campaign against naked chicken chips.
What is this?
Which they deem equally as bold and dangerously delicious. This is, of course, a fake thing.
Is it?
Taco Bell. Yeah. Yeah, it's a fake thing that Taco Bell made up of, like, people who are a fake group who's, like, thinks that this is the road to hell is paved with fried chicken in different shapes. Which is of course a joke and it's marketing and whatever. But I do think it reveals something of the Taco Bell psyche that like on some level they know they have to create their own Moriarty.
Yeah.
Like they do, like no one's stopping us and the guilt that we feel is actually manifested in us creating an anti Taco Bell. Like we're paying money for an anti Taco Bell to nip at our heels at every turn.
I mean, it's very sad.
This is so that when we do things like this and we talk about it, that they can be like, well, yeah, of course, they're part of the council.
Yeah,
and then everybody can just exactly discount our statements.
They could have saved a lot of money by bringing me in to be the counter Taco Bell and be like, Griffin McElroy, in the press release, like, Griffin McElroy of My Brother and Me and 30 Under 30 Media Luminary said, this sounds fucking nasty, and I don't know why Taco Bell, you think you are going to become my number one chicken source. You all don't know fucking anything about this chicken game, and to be honest, if this is the heat you're bringing, dippable nacho cheese sauce with little triangles that have probably been over-blasted with whatever seasoning you're bringing to the table, I think it sounds pretty nasty, Griffin said. Hey, fuck that guy. Come get these little guys.
Can I actually, like, I know that you made up the Council for Eating Fried Chicken the Same Way You Always Have as a joke, but, like, can I join that?
Can I donate lots of money to? Can I give like 10% of my paycheck to the Good Chicken Council?
Yeah, can we just do that? Are there groups like? I'd always thought family values groups were horseshit growing up, and broadly speaking, yes.
Yes, they are.
But if
absolutely.
There are groups, yes, obviously. But if there are groups devoted to the values of eating chicken in not fun shapes, like I would probably join up. I would probably get on board with that if it was a feasible organization.
Do y'all want a Yahoo?
Yes.
Yeah, I do, Griffin. And while you're doing that, I'm going to run a quick who is on this chicken council, try to figure out
who's
bankrolling the whole thing.
Fucking WikiLeaks over here. Getting at the code.
Yeah.
This one was sent in by Tristan Hyatt. Thank you, Tristan. It's Yahoo Answers user Anonymous. We're going to call him Reggie asks, weird question. How do you shop at Foot Locker? Yeah, I've never understood it. Where do they keep the actual shoes? Do you have to talk to an employee? I hope this question doesn't seem dumb, lul. I've kind of been in one for like 2 minutes, felt out of place. I saw a few boxes, but I just left after that. This is a valuable service. Because there have been lots of times. Juice, you remember when it was Trav's and yours birthdays coming up and we wanted to get him a present. And so we went to the vitamin store to buy him some vitamins. And we got said, get out of here. They said, you don't have any money. Or more or less, this is not a jokey joke. So we said, this is a store where all the things are pretty expensive. And Justin, you had that Olive Garden money and you were like, oh yeah, guess you don't want these OG bucks. And then we left the store and we felt like really huffy and superior for the rest of the day.
You just made a big mistake. Huge.
Huge mistake. I was going to buy all the protein for my brother as a birthday gift.
What did you end up getting me? Just to walk down memory lane, do y'all remember? Or?
No, but I mean, okay. You know how you're all like fucking scrawny and shriveled up now?
Yeah,
like these
that
days?
Is my defining feature, how tiny I am.
You're all fucking tiny and wispy and weak, and it's because we weren't able to buy you these pills that you needed to get yoked. But anyway.
Oh, man, two paths diverged. Do you know what I mean?
And you took the one.
Sliding doors.
You took the one of just like a little, like a baby's body. But anyway, how do you shop at Foot Locker?
Like a welcome to Wienerville body.
Like a Wienerville situation. I just think that there's lots of discomfort about going into certain stores to shop. I feel it when I go into J.Crew because it's a one echelon level higher than the clothes store that I usually shop at. And I feel like I'm going to embarrass myself in there. And obviously this person's struggling at Foot Locker. So I think we could do a little Prima strategy guide, a little game facts for Foot Locker.
What I find interesting about this question, Griffin, is that Reggie's concern is like the actual mechanics.
Yeah.
Whereas my embarrassment when I walk into Foot Locker is like, I don't know how to ask where like the shoes for sitting around and not playing sports are.
They got them. They got all kinds of, they got fashion, they got casual, they got all kinds of stuff.
I'm just so afraid to ask because I'm afraid I'll walk in and they'll be like, you don't sport. And I'll just run out crying.
No.
They're right.
That's a common misconception. This is page one of the strategy guide. It's just like, be confident, I think, when you walk in there. Like, it doesn't matter what you need these shoes for. Foot Locker's gotcha.
Now, Griffin, they are also dressed, I believe the sporting term is referees.
So it's just number two in the, like, page two in the strategy guide. Like, don't be, they're not going to call some sort of foul on you. Can you imagine?
Oh, okay. That's what I was worried about, that I'd come in and I'd be like, I don't know my size, and they'd be like, that's a red card. You're out of here.
Yeah.
That's a sport thing.
Juice, are you still counter-programming the Taco Bell website, or are you in the bit with us?
No, I'm here in the bit. I just don't have much to add about foot. The last time I was in a Foot Locker, they had some shoes in glass cases.
Okay.
That's not a joke. So, and you could, like, read about them.
So, like, number three is, like, don't get freaked out when you see that. Like, I'd be afraid if I saw that I was going to accidentally steal some shoes from Foot Locker. And it's like, just don't, you know, it's not a museum. You're not robbing it. Sometimes you have to say that to people, like, when they're shopping at a store. Like, sometimes I walk into Best Buy and I think, like, I hope I don't actually steal some. I don't want to accidentally steal something here.
Yeah. No, you want to on purpose steal things.
Well, I want to make the decision, yeah.
Yeah.
No, Travis knows how hard the LP is at Best Buy. They've got eyes on everybody. I wouldn't try to sneak out of that place with anything.
Yeah, like I'd be like, so if I was shoplifting from Best Buy and I saw Travis's little Wienerville baby body, I'd be like, oh no.
That's fair.
Just looks like five broomsticks.
It is easy though to steal shoes from the Foot Locker because all you is you go into the changing room. And then you put on the new shoes, and you put your old shoes back in the box, and then you say, like, I decided I don't want these. And you just walk out.
Jesus, Travis, this is a strategy guide for how to shop at Foot Locker. And you just told people, go for it, basically.
I think it's safe, though, because I don't actually think they have changing rooms to change your shoes. So I might have given some bogus advice there. Griffin, let me ask you a different question for the strategy guide.
How do you shop at Foot Locker?
Well, I've been in the Foot Locker, and I've seen basketball hoops.
Oh, yeah.
Like, is there any risk of a game breaking out that I would have to participate in?
I mean, it would be pretty loud. Like, the sound of a basketball being dribbled is, like, pretty loud. So, like, I think you'd have enough time to probably get out of the store. But, again, take those shoes off. You don't want to thieve from them. How do you get the shoes that are right for you at Foot Locker, though? Because, like, what's a good fit, I think, for like a Reebok?
Well, that I actually do know the answer to, Griffin, because here's the thing. The only people who work at Foot Locker are passionate about shoe sales.
They love it.
So if you go up to any one of them and say, I don't even know what I'm looking for. I am a blank canvas upon which you can paint your masterpiece. They are going to love the opportunity to really stretch their imaginations and their creativity to find the right shoe for you. They'll take care of everything. You just have a seat, and no matter what questions they ask, you say, surprise me. And I think that's probably the best way to buy it. Don't even tell them your shoe size. Let them figure that out, because that's going to make their whole day.
Now, Juice, I've got a question here from somebody about Foot Locker, and I was hoping you could help them answer it. And it's an anonymous ask.fm. They said that they always have stinky feet. And so, like, they don't want to offend any of the umpires or whatever. And so they just asked, they said, Justin, what do I do about that?
Just measure yourself. Ask if they have a booklet about how to work that little slide thing.
Okay.
And then just sit there for a half hour and piece it together yourself.
That's going to take a while, though. I mean,
it will.
I don't want to
make a day of it. They'll bring you a cold drink if it takes too long to figure out your shoe size.
Do you think you need
to pack your lunch yourself, though?
Yeah, do pack a lunch.
Does anybody That's own good. Those at home? And they come in and like put your foot in the scale, and then you could say to them like, "Don't worry about it. I used my foot scale at home, and I'll tell you exactly the size it is."
Do you think they're on Amazon? Because like.
Well, the problem, boys, is you're dealing with like a cubit situation where the scale at Payless is different from the scale. Every store has their own.
Well, that's how they
sizes.
And that's how they fuck you, right?
Yeah.
I can't understand sort of where this person was coming from, because if you go there and you just see one shoe on a shelf, you certainly are going to wonder like, well, what do I do about that? There's no, is there another one behind? If I take one out, will another one just slide into its place like a Coke machine?
But
like,
no, that's obviously the most popular fashionable shoe that everybody's wearing, and you fucking buy that shoe and you shut up about it because you don't know that much about shoes, obviously. If you're having this much trouble with it, you just got to trust the people at Foot Locker because this is their passion.
Now, Griffin, what if the shoe is just way too big for you, but it is the last one of the most popular shoe?
Jam it in, jam it up.
Like maybe put some like rolled up socks in there,
or toilet paper or tissue paper, or
do they make you get rid of your off court buddies in that circumstance? Or
I mean, they make you trade in your shoes if you buy shoes at Foot Locker, no matter what. You knew that, right? That's how they get. Yeah. That's how they get new ones.
The foot measuring thing is called the Brannock device.
Fuck yeah, that's awesome.
It's awesome. It's really cool. You can buy one on Amazon for $65.
That's way more money than I would ever, as a joke, spend on anything.
Okay, yeah, you can, but I'm trying to figure out why.
Yeah.
Like, if you were going to start a shoe place, is this the last thing, like, when you're about to open the doors, you're like, oh, fuck. You know what we
don't have?
Tell me
they got same day.
Tell me, because we got to get
on the Brannock. Got to get it. I'm 30. I don't. And that still feels just awful. It tumbled. That word just diapers out of my mouth. But I do think that my feet are probably done growing, huh?
Mm-hmm. Probably. You're about to start shrinking.
I don't think my feet are going to get any... Huh? There are 10. There are 10.
After 30, they shrink.
There are 10 now. I don't think I'm ever going to hit 10.5.
See, I'm like a 10.511, but I do like it. But
I'm 12D.
Travis is a 2.
I'm a 12D. Nice.
It's just a 12D. Broomstick going into a shoe.
I know, because I wear cowboy boots, sir, and I wear the shit out of them.
Yeah, he's very proud of his boots. Hey, boots aren't cheap. That's what they tell me, at least. I hear that they're expensive. You want a nice pair.
Wouldn't it be funny if, I know you're doing the transition, but wouldn't it be funny if you went to Foot Locker and they saw your shoes and they were like, what are those? I love that one, because they're like, it's just shoes and it's like fun to like slam people for it.
If I owned a Foot Locker, I would tell my employees whenever somebody came in the store, I would tell them to say, well, you already have shoes. What's your angle? What are you playing at? Who are these for?
They have to come in here if they want our shoes. No shoes sold unless the person is present. You know that.
But if you came in without shoes, they'd be like, they're ready. They're ready to receive.
We've been waiting for you.
We saw you coming.
They come in and I'd be like, "What are those? Oh, he doesn't have them." You've solved my joke.
I would like a Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium, but for shoes. It was just fucking magical, but at the end, you just end up with shoes. I don't know. I haven't seen it. It might be about shoes.
I'll spoil it for you. Mr. Megorium dies and turns into Stardust, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it either, but I got really into it conceptually, so I read the plot summary. All right, I'm going to try this again. Boots are expensive. Money zone transition.
These boots are made for walking to the money zone.
There we go. That's fine.
very excited this week because My Brother, My Brother and Me is sponsored by Lyft, and I love Lyft for a lot of reasons. It's a very versatile service that I'm a fan of. One, when I travel, if I go somewhere like San Francisco Sketchfest, right? I don't want to rent a car. Boom. Lyft is right there. Super convenient. Two, Teresa and I share a car. If I want to make sure my wife still has access to our car and I just need to like run to an appointment or something, boom,
you
Lyft.
It. Does it bum you out, Travis, at all that this is a sort of unrequited love because you tried to be a Lyft driver once and they didn't want you?
No, that was fair because I did have a number of infractions.
You want standards? They won't let Travis drive, but they'll pay him money to talk about their service.
Well, they might now. I think a lot of those infractions have probably fallen off of my record.
Travis tried out for the team. Tried out for the Lyft team. Lyft said, no, but we'll find some way to use you. You enthusiastic young driver.
They saw something raw in Travis that they could mold. You're not a driver. You're a speaker.
And they were
you
right.
You speak for Lyft.
I do. Honest to God, I use Lyft all the time, and I'm a pretty big fan. Safety is their number one priority. Every driver is fully vetted through a 10-point safety standard, including third-party criminal and DMV background checks.
How many points do you think you made it there, Trav? If you were to guess.
Maybe two, honestly. I cleaned my car really good, and I had peppermints in the
cup.
That's
one and two. Those are the two first safety standard points. And
I had an iPhone charge cable.
All right. Well, that one's important too. They can't have you. Can't have you. Your map's dying.
Whew, that was close. 9 out of 10 Lyft rides get a perfect 5-star rating, and they offer a better experience with Lyft. You can tip in the app, so the happier so you have happier drivers, which means happier passengers. I'm a big fan. And right now, Lyft is offering our listeners a special deal for new users. You get 3 free rides up to $10 each. That's a $30 value when you enter promo code BROTHER. Just download the free Lyft app, L-Y-F-T, Lyft app today, and enter promo code BROTHER in the payment section, and you'll start with 3 free rides up to $10 each. $30 value. Promo code BROTHER. Go. Do it now.
Get not my brother. Rides. A lot of times it's my brother. This is just brother.
Brother.
Anyone's old brother. Any shitty old brother. Hey, can I tell you about Pro Flowers?
Yeah, please.
We got some lovely blooms in. Well, they weren't even blooming yet. That's the best thing. We got these lovely little plants, essentially. And then I put the dust in the water. They send you the dust and they say put the dust in the water and you cut some of the flowers. And I feel bad doing that every time. Like you're supposed to cut their butts off, basically. I guess it helps them drink up the dust better. But anyway, they bloomed, and we've had them for a while now, and they're just lovely. They're sitting on the kitchen, and I just like to. Sometimes I turn the TV off, and I say, "Babe," I'm talking to Rachel and our baby. And I say, "Babes, it's flower night," and we'll just look right at these things for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours at a time. 9 hours. Last yesterday, I'm thinking of it. 9 hours yesterday.
You know, in the 30s, that's what had to pass for entertainment. Your grandparents probably stared at flowers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had finished your dance marathon, and you wanted to just chill out for the night. And you're like, I can't dance another marathon.
You'd dance in your dance marathon, and they would open the pool up under you, and you'd fall into it every time. That's every dance marathon. They don't tell you that. That's every dance marathon. You fall in the pool, and then you walk home with your future wife, and then you get home and you just stare at some flowers. And so somebody would go to turn the radio on, and you would slap their hand away from the dial as hard as you possibly could. And you say,
both
no.
Both because it would interrupt flower watching, but also that would attract the bombers. They would know where you are because of the radio signals.
But
so you had to keep that turned off.
It's flower night.
Mama, may I be excused from the table to go stare at the flowers?
Well, Jeff Rums, did you finish your turkey leather?
I did, indeed.
Well, you're dismissed.
Wait, hold on. Is turkey leather something you're eating or something you're making to sell?
Both.
Okay.
They're getting high on their own supply, so to speak.
Anyway, Mother's Day is coming up. And this is a good way to show your appreciation. You can send the 100 blooms for mom bouquet from Pro Flowers this Mother's Day. It'll make a real impression. Comes with a free glass vase for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. And you can upgrade to a premium vase and include gourmet chocolates for just $10 more. You choose the delivery date you want. Pro Flowers are guaranteed to arrive fresh and beautiful and stay that way for 7 days or your money back. And yeah, it's
don't wait
because don't
that's
wait
7 days. Today, Monday.
Mother's Day is the 14th, so like, get going. Order it.
It's
right
time.
Now.
Yeah, get the 100 balloons for mom with a free glass face, $19.99 plus shipping. Just go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and use the code my brother. It's proflowers.com. Get the code my brother when you click on the mic.
This bouquet, all one word.
This bouquet sells out fast, so order today. And you're just going to stare at these flowers, but try not to. You're going to want to eat them. Like, that's the thing. You're going to want to eat these blooms. And I can't tell you how many emails I got from botanists and flower people and botanists from Harry Potter, how they do like plants in those movies and books. And all of these emails said, you were right, Griffin, eat them up. Yum. Good. But if you eat them all, don't eat them all, because then you can't stare at them. That's my like plant advice.
Do they call people that study like mechanical people robotanists?
Yeah.
Don't even act like we don't have a personal message, because we do. And it's for Fiona, and it's from Haley. And it says, happy 50th birthday to the best mom who tells dad jokes and explains references on this show that I'm too young to get. I'm so glad that through hard times in our lives, we can listen to MBMBAM together and laugh. Thanks for birthing my brothers and me. Love, your Jelly Bean.
I see you didn't want to take the director's note at the beginning of this one, Juice.
I'm not a fucking dancing.
It says if Snowden could come out of hiding to read this message, that'd be great. And like, I don't know why you want him to compromise himself for you.
Give us one word, Justin.
Thank you for birthing me, mother. It's our secret.
I feel like maybe you've lost.
No, much he's like, still fucking there.
Much like the American intelligence community, you've lost Snowden maybe a little bit.
Yeah, he just sounds smaller.
I hate this happening inorganically.
You can do it.
I'm an organic comedian.
Yeah.
I did it. It was so funny. People are lolling their brains off right now. They're loving it.
They're loving their brains off, just like the kids say.
Snowden fever is back and it's sweeping America. And there's a reason sometimes you retire a beloved character because you lose touch with them. It's like if, you know, the guy who hosts All American Actor Sit Down, James Spader. Mm-hmm. If he were to say to me, Justin, can I speak with Edward Snowden? The worst thing that's ever happened to me, by the way, is watching James Lipton host Inside of the Actor Studio with the cast of Simpsons and asking each one in turn if he could speak to their character. Oops. And having them improvise some like Simpsons back and forth impromptu discussions with the Simpsons family.
Why didn't one of them look at them like, it's scripted, James?
James.
The show is scripted.
Hey, James.
Can I speak to Mole Man?
Is Comic Book Guy in today?
Is Hans Molman? Are you there? I'm channeling you.
If I could just.
Where's the money, Hans?
Can I speak with Gil? I don't remember Gil. Gil was, hold on. Let me look. Remember an episode, Gil? You don't remember? Okay.
Can I speak to Daryl Strawberry? That was really Daryl Strawberry. Like, he was really in that fucking episode. What are you talking about?
What are you doing, James?
I really like Daryl Strawberry.
I thought you might have Daryl Strawberry's phone number so I could call Daryl Strawberry.
Here's another message, and it's for Bailey M, and it's from Nate B, who says, happy birthday to my sweetheart of a partner. Bailey, I'm not sure if you will be in D.C. or Ukraine when you receive this birthday message, but I know that I love you with all of my heart. Nate, P.S. I couldn't think of a goof to write here, so if the brothers could help me out, I would appreciate it.
So wait. Just a joke? You just want us to write a joke?
Okay, all joking aside.
This should be the name of this podcast.
Jokes, get out. Get out of here, jokes.
Jokes, step out of the room for a moment.
Give me like 5 minutes.
I'm not going to fucking wait.
That's way too long to go without jokes.
Okay, 2 minutes. 1 minute?
Okay.
1 minute. It's probably really hard for Nate to plan whether Bailey's going to be in D.C. or the Ukraine when this message is read, considering it is a month. Oh, no, 2 months late.
That's not really a good... I don't know that that's a good joke for them, though.
Self-burn.
You guys are really tough.
Here, how about this? Friends. How about this?
Okay.
Tell me a joke.
Okay. Wait. Here you go. Acupuncture is a jab well done.
Acupuncture is a jab well done. That was Google's. Well, here, there's one more.
There are two fish in a tank, and one says to the other, how do you drive this thing?
Fucking sucks, Google. Okay. Well, that was Google. Google's like the company that owns all the things. You think they could own like a good joke? Here's one called Random Fun. What do you think she says on that?
Here is a cute video.
Oh, it's like a cat.
Okay. I was afraid, honestly.
So this wasn't really we didn't really write a joke this time. What we did is one of our classic My Brother and Me goof adjacent segments where you think there's something funny in it and then you dig around and there's not, but then you're 3 minutes closer to the podcast being over. So everybody wins.
Like, maybe in a year you remember something funny happening here, but when you go back and re-listen to the episode, you can't pinpoint what moment you were thinking of.
Yeah, if you're scrubbing through right now trying to find that great joke that you heard on this episode, it was earlier or later, because it's not in this segment. You can go ahead.
It might not have even been this episode.
Yeah, it may not have been this episode. It was okay. This is an okay one. Real middle of the pack right here, this one.
Oh, well, it does riddle. I got this new phone. It does jokes. Samsung Galaxy S8, it's got jokes. That's my, you know how we do tech reviews sometimes? It also does riddles. Here's the riddle. Do you want to hear it?
Does your shirt have holes in it? No? Then how did you put it on?
That's a riddle.
That's not a riddle. Unless you honestly want me to answer how I put my shirt on.
Here's a riddle.
What has two hands, a round face, always runs, but stays in place?
That's a real
fucking clock.
Yeah, it tells you that pretty quick, huh? Like, give me a minute to fucking solve the riddle. Obviously, Travis solved it because he's the riddle master, but I need a little bit more time than this phone. I'm giving this phone 3 stars out of 5 because it doesn't give you enough time to... The bezel is, like, almost not there, and the processor is, like, so fast. It runs all my games so fast, but when it asks you riddles, it doesn't give you enough time to solve them. 3 stars out of 5. Sorry, Google, I had to dock you 2 points on that one.
There's probably a setting for that. Here's another question, because I think we've done one. Is that right?
Give me more time to solve your riddles next time.
Here are the top search results.
No, it's not a search. 2 stars out of 5. Fuck this phone. Don't buy it. I wish I still had my Apple phone. I had all my crazy birds saved on my Apple phone. I lost all the dang things.
Didn't carry your progress over?
No.
Crazy birds?
God, this has been the longest money zone spot.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm trying to move on to the next thing and you keep talking about your phone.
Hey, Max Fun fans. It's MaximumFun.org founder Jesse Thorne. I just wanted to take a minute to congratulate our colleague Ben Partridge. He's the host and creator of the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, and they just won the Gold Award for Best Comedy Podcast in the British Podcast Awards. It's a truly remarkable honor. If you haven't checked out Beef and Dairy Network, you are in for a very, very, very special treat. It's a really remarkable and hilarious show. I would say a perfect podcast. So congratulations, Ben Partridge, and congratulations to everyone who's contributed to the Beef and Dairy Network podcast. We're proud of you.
Do you think living on a houseboat would be as fun as it sounds? That's from Landlock in Illinois. There's not explicit advice, I guess, in this one. It's more implicit advice, I suppose.
Pros and cons. Pros, you can fish right off the side of the damn thing.
No problem.
Which, you know me, I love fishing every morning. Sometimes it's a hassle to get down to the ocean.
Oh, also, you have the 360 surround pool. Who else can claim that on their house? I mean, I guess other people in houseboats.
Negatives. You could wake up drowned, which is kind of a bad one. Like, that actually, no matter what, like, you're mobile, you could live wherever you want, your house moves, fishing off the side, 360 pool is all super good. I'm sure it's very scenic, but you could wake up drowned, and that's that might actually sort of outweigh the, like, I'm in my ranch style home here in Texas, that's a very low chance of it happening because it's not an aqua vehicle.
I mean, if my regular house breaks, I call a guy. If my houseboat breaks, I'm all of a sudden in like a desperate adventure movie situation. Like I'm fighting for my life all of a sudden, which maybe is not what you want to do when you're trying to just catch up on, you know, 24 or whatever you're doing at your home.
And before you say it doesn't happen, it happened to a bar in Huntington. So
yes,
that is true. But the question, boys, was not, is it as responsible as it sounds? The question was, is it as fun as it sounds?
So and you think it'd be pretty fun for your house to break and then you almost drown while you're trying to swim out of your
but
home?
But that's like saying, like, oh, I look at that roller coaster and something bad could happen, so I'm not going to get on that roller coaster. It doesn't mean the roller coaster is not fun. It just means that you're being a little too responsible. I think living on a houseboat would be as fun as it sounds right up until the moment when it sinks. Up until then...
You're right, Travis. You shouldn't think about. Don't cry because it's over. Laugh because of the great memories you had along the way.
Exactly. Thank you. Because here's the thing. No, the house I live in now is most likely not going to sink unless we have a sinkhole situation. But you know what else? I also don't get to pretend like I'm on an adventure with my friends Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer every day.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like, can I read a Yahoo?
Do you think if you have a houseboat?
Uh-huh.
And you see people fishing near your houseboat. Are you allowed to be like, come on?
Yeah, those are my fish.
Those are clearly my fish.
I've named those.
I named those fish. They're my pets.
That's my koi pond.
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Do you think if you own a houseboat, you get to claim that like you have lots of outdoor bathrooms?
What's the square footage? Well, I don't know. How far can
you
swim?
Infinity. Yeah, all of it.
Hey, here's a good thing about houseboat. If you drive it out far enough, you can turn on your video poker machine and just go hog wild. That's one fun thing.
Do you guys know any Yahoo?
Yeah.
Someone sent in by Zoe Kinski riding high. This is not a good one. I will be very honest with you boys. It's not a good one, but I did need to read it. Zoe Kinski sent it in. It's Yahoo Answers user. Sorry, something's gone wrong. I'm going to call him Keith. Asked. Riddle me this, Batman. How can you find out if you were breastfed without asking anyone in your family? And then additional details. Batman jokes aside, how can you find out if you were breastfed without asking anyone in your family?
Does it say Batman jokes aside?
Yes.
All right, enough farting around.
It'll be a riddle-dee-dee, Batman. If you kill him, he won't learn nothing. How can you find out if you were breastfed without asking anyone in your family? Never mind the Batman stuff. I just want to know about the breastfeeding.
I'm glad he got that distraction out of the way. Otherwise, I would have been listening to the second half of the question wondering, when's another Batman joke coming?
What character is this?
Let's put a smile on that face. How can I find his breastfeeding? Don't think about the Joker thing. I want to know if I was breastfed from a breast.
Riddle me this, Batman. Does your shirt have holes in it?
No. What has two hands, a face, and doesn't move? A clock. What? You said it way too fast. Batman's the Riddler.
I wasn't even done listening. The sound had not made it to my bat ears yet.
How do you guys think he does put it on?
What?
How does Batman put it on? I was thinking about it, and like he would tell the Riddler, like, no, I know buttons, and then the Riddler would be like, then how'd you put it on? And then Batman would have to say something. I guess he wouldn't. He would probably just punch him. But like, if he wanted to answer, how would he put it on, right?
Why didn't the Riddler ever look at Batman and say, riddle me this, who is Batman? And Batman would be like, Bruce Wayne, shit, damn
it. Batman solved it, though. And I'd give me 10 riddle points. And when he says up 100, the Riddler dies.
Do you think in every Batman story you've ever seen, ever, they have omitted a 10-second beat of footage where he's just like,
Zip me up, Alfred. Alfred, too tight. Corset me up, Alfred. Tighten my corset, Alfred.
It seems like a rubber spray, like he's just sprayed on him.
Sprayed it on
him. I have seen human beings removing wetsuits before, and it is not a cool thing or an easy thing. It kind of looks like someone shedding their exoskeleton, their carapace.
And if we're being honest, his wiener probably looks super weird in there when he take it. Like, it probably looks super, super, super. It's like a little hot bag that you sweat into, and then when you take it off, like, we don't talk about this ever, but his wiener probably looks, like, pretty busted.
He's definitely fully talked up before it gets in there,
right? He talks like, 360 degrees full coverage.
He's got, like, a spray tan booth of talcum powder. It's, like... Oh, there's a crime. Okay, I need 20 minutes to get... I got to grease up and then talc up and then get in the suit. And that takes a while. And I had to put in a lot of soundproofing so you wouldn't hear the squeaking and the screaming.
Do you think at some point in the relationship, Alfred has come to him and said, Master Bruce.
Yes?
I'm just going to ask a fucking kid, please stop peeing in the suit. Master Bruce, I have to fucking wash it, okay? Master Bruce, please stop peeing in the suit.
I don't,
Master
thank
Bruce,
you.
I have taken the liberty of, I've crafted you a flannel number with several zippers and buttons and flaps. No. Okay, but just for a second, just consider.
Just Master Bruce, who do you think? It stinks like shit. There's nothing we're going to do about that. You're getting you're fighting the penguin. You're sweating to high heaven. Mm. I'll quit, and then I'll need a way to make money. And I can think of one pretty fucking good one, and it's a book called Here's What the Batcave Is by me, Alfred, who no longer watches your piss scene.
It's called The Secrets of the Underground Piss Boy, and that's you.
That's you.
You and chapter one, you'll never believe this clammy pingness.
I'll tell them about the time you got scared last year. Remember, Master Bruce? Really scared? Remember really, really scared? I think of it as Alfred's super bad day that he had because of you, Master Bruce.
You remember when hey, Gotham, chapter two. Remember when Bane almost blew our thing up with, I forget why, but it was really dumb. But anyway, Batman came home from that one and his balls were so pruny. It was, the suit is so tight. He was out there for a few days just getting wildly pruny down there.
Chapter 3. Master Bruce stopped watching Dexter after season 3, but he continued to make me recap episodes after I watched them for the entirety of the series. Literally half of my day is spent recapping Dexter for Batman.
Batman took a weird turn. I like it.
He's a weird dude, man. The other day, my boyfriend went thrift shopping on his day off from work. When he got home, I asked him if he had found anything good. He said that he had and proceeded to show me a Criss Angel Mind Freak magic kit. I really like this guy. What do I do? Get fucking stoked?
Yeah,
I guess?
Married, I guess, to this person as fast as is possible?
Are you kidding me? That's very good.
Was it unopened? Because you run the risk of some of the minds having already been freed.
Yeah, you can't unfreak those beans. Sorry, Justin, I wanted to do a joke, but I didn't want to be rude and interrupt you, so maybe you could read it a second time, and I'll be rude this time, but it won't be the one that counts.
Yeah, you got it.
All right.
The other day, my boyfriend went thrift shopping.
I'm going to pop some tags. I've got $30 in my pocket.
You said he had a joke. I'm still waiting on. Where's the joke?
At one point, he says piss in the song.
Piss.
Mm. Yeah, that is pretty good.
But shit, it was 99 cents.
Yeah, and he comes back at it, but with a message, like an important message. This is the best pickup like ever, and I think you should get psyched and like start like putting on little magic shows, I guess. What comes in? All right, time to Google. What comes in the Criss Angel Mind Freak Magic Kit?
Okay, while you work
super
on that.
Super quick, I am going to need to know that. I'm also going to wonder if it makes the illusions harder if you pull out, like, I'm going to poke a hole through this coin. And they're like, why does the coin have Criss Angel's face on it? And you have to just stare at them until they forgot you were going to do a magic trick.
So Sears has it for $128 American dollars and 90 American cents, which is basically 129 American dollars. Barnes and Noble get it to you for $60.
Justin,
yeah.
If you saw a Criss Angel Mind Freak magic kit at a thrift store, what amount of money would they have to be charging for it that would balance for you the joke of buying it without being ashamed of the amount of money you paid for it?
Okay. Trav, hi. It's nice to meet you. My name is Justin McElroy, and I paid $200 for a lucid dreamy helmet that's never going
Fair
to arrive
enough.
In my house.
I should have
asked.
There's
not Griffin. A number. Yes, exactly.
Griffin, same question.
$128.90.
Griffin would pay double what he'd pay at Barnes & Noble.
Somebody wrote this on Sears. Apparently Sears just lets you write your own product descriptions. I've included the Mind Freak Kit instructional DVD to perform every Mind Freak prop contained in this kit to make learning easy and fun. By the way, I'm looking at this shit, and it's like some little foam balls and thimbles, and it's like you can't freak someone's bean with some fucking thimbles. It's impossible. As a bonus, I've also included volumes 1 and 5 of my best-selling DVD series, Master Mind Freaks. Okay, so Chris did write this then. Each DVD with my personal step-by-step instructions on how to perform each and every insane mind reek, little typo there, including my biggest secret, how to self-levitate anywhere, anytime, with no props. I've also included three different official decks of Criss Angel playing cards, my personal practice tips, and Mind Freak teacher tricks. That's...
Hey. Sorry, go ahead.
That's teach-a-tricks. Teacher tricks from my best-selling book.
Tricks.
Criss Angel Mind Freak. Nope, it's tricks spelled right. Criss Angel Mind Freak Secret Revelations, the free ultimate online ultimate loyal freak trial membership at Criss Angel website, and much, much more.
I'm just going to try it out and see.
I'm watching a YouTube video now, and it's somebody doing one of the tricks from this Mind Freak set, and it looks like they've got three little silver cups here and three foam balls.
Each one with Criss Angel's face on it.
And this person is putting some of the balls in the cups, and... Oh, look at that. It looks like three of the balls ended up in what...
Is it your mind?
My mind! My bean! You got me.
Yeah, called it Bean Freak.
Yes. Oh, you got me right in the bean. Oh, you got to finish the show without me. Oh, why did I watch this GD video? Oh. It's still on. The video's still going. The three balls are back in their original cups. My bean.
This is podcast history. Someone's having their mind freaked in the pocket. You just in media res as Griffin is having his mind freaked.
It's hard. I can't even think right anymore. Guys.
That's what happens.
Oh, shit. My legs and arms feel numb. Is this it?
Well, folks, this has been My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era. Now just My Brother and Me, I guess. My name is Justin McElroy, and thank you to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song At the Departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Thanks to everybody who has listened to our show and shared it over the years during the Griffin years, as we will now think of them. And, Trav, do you have anything you would like to say?
Yeah, go check out all the other amazing shows on MaximumFun.org. There's a ton on there. They're all great. You can also go to McElroyShows.com to find all the projects that we're associated with, as well as contact information like P.O. boxes and email addresses and Twitter accounts, Facebook groups, all that kind of stuff. Also wanted to say my wife and I have a new show that we do called The Kind Rewind, where we watch different things and discuss them. We are wrapping up season one of Buffy, and then the next episode after that we'll be watching E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Oh, so yeah. That will be episode 5. And then we're going to watch the first 3 episodes of Cheers, and we don't want to commit ourselves to a whole first season in case we hate it, but episode 6 will be the first 3 episodes of Cheers.
Okay. Oh, Griffin's back. Thank God.
I can do the closer. Ugh. Okay. Also, we're about to do a live show in Austin. If you're coming to that, please send in questions. Mabimbam at MaximumFun.org. Here's a final Yahoo. Sent in by Morgan Davey. Keep it waving, Morgan Davey. It's a Yahoo Answers user. They're anonymous. Everybody's just completely undercover. This one's asked by Cream Dream, who asks, did Arthur from the cartoon ever go to a funeral in the show?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother May. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
I'm Barbara Gray.
I'm Brandi Posey.
And I'm Tess Barker.
We're Lady to Lady. Do you want a sleepover in your ears?
Is that a friend in your pocket, or are you just podcast to see me?
We're a portable hangout you can bring to the gym, on the subway, or on an oil rig.
Seriously, we have listeners who do that.
Chill with us while we get high with Margaret Cho.
Talk showgirls with Katya from Drag Race.
And hear Broadway star Anthony Rapp sing Hamilton.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot.
Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
That's Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.